All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us today Mr. Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Robert and I are going to be going over an after-action review of the current training, or the most recent training that we did out at Ready Made Resources. That was the active shooter training course. And then we're going to talk about some of the latest things going on in the news and just see where it goes, and we'll see how this develops. Robert, thanks for coming on. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling really good. Much better than when you were here. I was kind of under the weather a little bit, as you know. And I want to thank you and Steve for praying for me. Because it was you saw me. I wasn't feeling good. And God answers prayer, and always appreciate the prayers of anybody listening. And as we pray for them, they pray for us, and the body of Christ supports one another. And that's Absolutely. The way it should be, because, Doug, this nation's coming unglued at the seams. The only thing that you're going to have where you can put your feet down and know that it's not going to be washed out from underneath of you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to say that right up front. I'm unashamed of it. It's the only thing that you're going to have, the only truth, because every man does what's right in his own eyes. That's what it said in the antediluvian world. There was no law, so every man did what is right in his own eyes, and that's what people are doing today. And if you want to stand firm, if you want to have your life together, and I'm not talking about self-help right now, but if you want to have your life together, if you want to have stability in your life, if you want to have the truth in your life, you have to place it firmly on God's word and the faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the only place we're going to go right now and have any security at all, because every day I read and hear stuff. It's either, the world.
What are really ugly people think about when they look in the mirror and see really ugly people? But, so I wonder what the world, which is really, really ugly, looks at when it looks at itself in the collective mirror and sees these hideous, ugly, deformed, person or entity in the mirror. And that's what this world has created. It has created a hideous, mutant, ugly, deformed creature straight out of the bowels of hell. And when it looks at itself, it doesn't see any attractiveness, because it's all built on lust, greed, envy, pride, jealousy, hatred. And, I just look and I look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it says all that this world, that hideous monster that you see when the world looks at itself in a mirror, you look into the eyes of the Son of God and you see perfection. You see wholeness. You see well-being, truth. You see healing. And, so I'm just encouraging people as we begin this, and we'll talk about many different subjects, If you want to put your hope in Donald Trump being elected and thinking, he's going to make America great again, go ahead. It won't work. He didn't make it great the first time. He made it better. He improved some things. But overall, the spiritual decay of America has been, unimaginable, catastrophic, unforeseeable, the moral decay and the collapse of America, even under his administration. So I just encourage people as we talk about potential war, which I think will be its potential in the fact that it is going to happen, but the potential of when it happens is a different thing. The absolute moral collapse of our society. And I am really tired, Doug, of people saying, well, there's still a lot of good people out there. Well, where are they? How come they're not on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter talking about, we cannot tolerate this anymore? Where are the pastors? Oh, there's a lot of good men of God out there. Where are they at in the Sunday morning in their pulpits? Yay, today we're going to talk about God loves you and has a special plan for your life. What about God wants you to die? And what I mean by die, I mean dying to self. God wants your pride. He wants your desires. He wants that. He wants you to become his servant. Where's that pastor at? Where's that pastor that's talking about the sanctity of marriage and that, you know, God made man, woman, male and female for a reason. And that's the only thing he made. Where are they at? So, you know, I just, again, starting the program off with that, that if you want to stand in these days of deception, because keep in mind that Jesus himself, during this Olivet discourse, warned us the end of the age, that deception would be the number one thing. I'm not going to say who, but we were listening to a TV commentator today, and he is of a what you might consider a cult. You know, some people consider it Christianity, some people consider it a cult. But Roxanne and I were listening to it, and the verbiage sounded so close. Words like redemption, salvation. But if you listen to the context of them, it wasn't in a biblical format. It wasn't in the biblical way it was used. It was used in a way that had twisted it a little bit, tweaked it. And so I'm just encouraging people, you know, keep your eyes focused on God's word. That's the only thing that's going to work. Make him Lord of your life. You know, Jesus doesn't want you to let him into your heart. In fact, I'm just going to get people mad at me right now, Doug. Asking Jesus into your heart is one of the most unbiblical things you can do. It's never in the Bible. Show me where it says, you know, ask Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved. It never, ever, ever says that. It says, make him Lord of your life. Repent. Be baptized. In fact, you know, the teaching of Jesus, that many will come to him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we let you into our heart when I was 6 years old. No, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. He wants discipleship. He wants obedience. He wants your life.
Pick up your cross and follow him.
Absolutely. And so I think there are millions of Americans that have let Jesus into their heart when they were 6 years old, checked that box, and that's it. You know, I did. I accepted Jesus when I was six. Well, how have you lived for him since? You know, you cheat, lie, steal, whatever. And it's not that none of us, even the most holy of men today, do sin, but it's not a pattern of our life. So, you know, Jesus doesn't want you to let him into your heart. He wants your obedience. He wants you to serve him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have passion for the Lord. We do. You know, John, the disciple, had strong passion for Jesus Christ. You know, brother Elmano to Elmano passion. But at the end of the day, John had to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about St. John. Mary, you know, Mary, Jesus's mother, had to accept him as her Lord and Savior to be forgiven of sins, and had to repent of her sin and be obedient to her son as he was the Son of God. So, you know, I just want to encourage people because, I want you to comment on this. I see so many people today that are deceived, that misquote scripture, that think things that aren't even in the Bible. That's, you know, I don't know. Do you run across that a lot?
I get a lot of hate. Look, I didn't originally start this whole podcasting thing out to shape this into ministry. God did. God absolutely took this in the direction because I was just doing as what I thought was necessary. And until I started to really seek God, did I realize God wanted me to be more on the ministry side. And use what I've learned and to come at this from a different point of view instead of the velveted glove, you know, soft-hearted, preposterously, how do I say this word?
Casper Milk Toast Jesus.
Yeah, it's preposterous. Like I have seen more people led astray by man's doctrine and I asked him, and this comes from, look, pre-tribbers, don't hate on me. But I've seen so much from different men's doctrines, and I just ask a simple question. I don't care if you're pre-trib. I don't care if you're post-wrath. I don't care when it is that you think we're going to be harpazoed into the sky. Are you ready to meet God at the next blink of your eye and they don't open up?
Yeah, and your next heartbeat, boom, stops.
Yeah.
The other night I had to go into the hospital because I had a heart issue. It's called tachycardia. And your heart just starts racing, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, one of the things they do, and it sounds kind of weird, is they stop your heart. And then a second or two later, they start it. That, I'm telling you, brother, that's a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. You feel it. They stop your heart and you just feel.
Ooh, I swear, like that's what it feels like when you get tasered.
Yeah, like when you turn the ignition off, the engine's still running, yep. But it's just running on momentum. And then fortunately, they start it back up again. But, you know, that's where we're at. And, you know, we've talked about this. Ladies and gentlemen, I know Satan is going to use the alien deception, okay? Now, but I liken this almost to, remember backmasking in the 80s? If you play the record backwards, you know.
What was that, Boston? Right?
Yeah. All kinds of weird things. Well, it got to the point. You didn't have to play it backwards. They were saying it forwards and twice as worse as what they had going backwards. So if you're looking for like aliens, which I think is a great deception today, I think the alien thing's pulled out of the bag every time they need a diversion. Look, we got green aliens over here. Yep. Spaceships.
Reptilians.
But, yeah. You know, I found one and I got the hand phaser. Maybe I wish I could. I wouldn't mind having a hand phaser. But you know, this is the deception we're talking about. I watch so many Christian YouTubes. They're not talking about Lordship of Jesus Christ. They're not talking about, you know, God's will in your marriage, how you're supposed to be the head, the office of fatherhood. I'm to be the father, the protector, the provider for my wife. Man, you know, there's not going to be a drop of air left in my lungs when I don't defend that woman. You know, there's not going to be a drop of air left in my lungs when my children go into a public school where they're taught the most gross demonic perversion of life. Who needs aliens? They're right there in front of you right now. They're called demon spirits. That's the alien kick.
That's one of the things that I've been God pressured me to speak out against, even guys that we know, Bob, and not to put down anybody's work, not to put down relevancy of anything. And it's not so much the guys that we know who talk about, you know, the alien deception, the reptilians, the flat earth, the hollow earth, the hologram space reality, or, you know, the giants and the angels and deep, not to knock on anybody. But when you've made that your idol, when you've made that your most frequent search on Google and YouTube, your heart's not in the right place anymore.
Our Great Commission. you know, when you're an officer, you receive a commission. When you go into the Lord's army, you receive a commission. And the commission is not, you know, make sure everybody knows about the aliens, make sure everybody knows that they're lying about the flat earth and the tens of thousands of people who've been in space or quasi space, satellites and whatever, are all lying. And the ice ring around the edge of the planet, you know, make sure that nobody's ever gone down there before and seen it and come back alive. You know, that's not our commission. Your commission as a follower of Jesus Christ, believe me, telling people about aliens is not going to convict them of their sin. It's not going to make them rent their heart, you know, and say, oh, my God, I'm a sinner. You know, it's not going to make them do that. I've sinned against Almighty God. Now, he's provided a way for me through his son, Jesus Christ, and the atonement of his blood. You know, when you tell people aliens, they can identify with this. Cool. Yeah, aliens. Yeah, I got a couple in my backyard. Yeah, no problem. But when you tell people you're a sinner, you're like an open tomb, rotting flesh. That's what the Bible says. I'm just paraphrasing the words. And you are on your way to Satan's hell where Satan, the abode where Satan was created to go to, and his demon fall, I mean, his fallen angel cohorts. You're headed there. Telling people about aliens isn't going to change that.
No, it's not. And, you know, and there's a whole nother gospel that I have just apparently been enlightened about from one of my lovely followers who says that we're in the fifth gospel right now. And I have no idea what that means, but it sounds
like must have recycled back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, gone back to Matthew.
Right. Or are we somewhere else now? Right. Well, yeah, but this person is a follower of Paul. And Paul's teachings, she says, is only for Christians, and everyone else, all the other apostles' teachings were only for the Jews. And that revelation is only, John on Patmos Island, his revelation that Jesus gave him was only for the Jews, and that not for the current church. Though in the very beginning, it does say, blessed is he who reads this book, and Jesus talks about the seven churches, right? So...
Let me address that. Those seven churches, the Bible does use figurative language in the book of Revelation. We have to be discerning to know when it's figurative and when it's reality.
This is right.
But those seven churches represent more. Where was the church of Antioch? Where was the church of Jerusalem? The two main founding churches. Uh-huh. How come he used those churches? Those churches, and a lot of biblical scholars agree, were representative churches of church ages that would go through in the 2,000 years of the body of Christ. It started out with Ephesus. It didn't start out with Laodicea. He could have started out the lukewarm, you know, non-church. He started out with Ephesus. You've lost your first love. If you follow church history, that's what happened. You know, they lost their first love. You know, within a century or two, the first love had gone. The passion for Jesus. Walking with Jesus, you know, knowing him, the Emmaus Road Jesus, that had left all the way to the end, the Laodicean church. That's the last one. Those churches were in that order for a reason, because that is, even though there are seven churches there, that's seven representative periods the church will go through, and there'll be remnants of those churches all the way to the end. But right now we're in that Laodicean church, which brings me to the point, which we didn't even plan on this, kind of got sidetracked.
Hey, praise God. This is the word he wants. This is the word God wants. Go ahead.
You know, that deception is out there. You know, I love history. I love the early church fathers because that's what made me premillennial. I read the early church fathers. Some of these were the apostles of the apostles. And in knowing that, I see what they have to say. So I truly appreciate history. I truly appreciate that kind of fact. I truly appreciate, you know, when I look at Machu Picchu, that's the, you know, that temple complex up on top of, I forgot what mountain in Peru, but, and to see that there was architecture there that was far advanced. They didn't do that with hammers and copper chisels or stone hammers and copper chisels.
No, Bob, you're wrong. They did it with, what was it that we were told? Shark skin, seashells, and llamas with braided vines.
Yeah, granite, which is on a scale of 1 to 10, I think granite's 8.
On the hardness scale? Yeah.
Yeah, hardness scale.
I think amethyst is the hardest.
And you couldn't even get COVID-19 through it. I mean, it could escape a Chinese lab, but it couldn't go through that.
There's so many places in America that are reminiscent. Our paleo research group out in Arkansas, we are investigating structures, mounds, and things that are 3,000 years old. And yet, who built this? We asked the First Nations people. We even have one lady who's on our team who's a First Nations person. And guess what? Guess what they all say? Oh, we didn't build it. The giants built it.
Same thing with pyramids, but it will get a little sidetracked. But I can talk to someone all day long about Machu Picchu, which I find interesting. It gives me, as a Christian, and knowing Genesis, it gives me understanding to what I'm going to face at the end time, because the Bible says it'd be like the days of Noah. So I know this cyclopean, what do they call it? You know, science, this amazing explosion of just wisdom beyond man's capability are going to flood the earth. So I appreciate it in that light. But I dug
if you weren't a Christian and I met you on the street and I said, you know, the aliens are here and they help mankind build Machu Picchu and you got the stones here and this and that, and you know, we're going to do AI and you know, all that, and then left and you died. Have I preached the gospel to you? No, I haven't. And you're going to go to hell because I didn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. But on the other hand, if I said, Doug, you know, I'm a sinner, buddy. I'm just one sinner leading another sinner to where the bread's at. And here's the bread. The bread is that you have a broken life. It's called sin. We inherited it from our father. And I'm going to give the short synopsis, you know. God provided a way out of it because you can't stand in a holy God's presence as a sinner. He sent his only son to die for you, in place of you, shed his blood for you. And if you accept that forgiveness, you can be restored into the family of God, and he will make you his son. And then your heart, Doug, is rent. And you say, I need that Jesus. And that night you give your life to the Lord, and on the way home you die in a car accident. You've heard the gospel. You've responded to the gospel. And you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ and that glorious vision that both Paul and John had. Mm-hmm. John was raptured up into heaven, and he saw that glorious vision of heaven. You'll spend eternity with him. But if I spend the time on, you know, foolishness, because we're dealing, let's just be honest, we're not dealing about scientific little tickle points. You know, we're not dealing with esoteric knowledge that I know about the mystery of the seven giants, and you don't, so I'm better than you, and unspoken, but of course that's what's implied. You know, you're going to die and go to hell. But on the other hand, if I preach to you the gospel of Jesus, the simple gospel that was preached on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls came into the gospel, came into the kingdom, that's what's going to transform. And in these days where we see the grossest of gross perversions, hideous things, I mean, parents emasculating their two-year-old children for political brownie points, or even they believe it because the deception is great. And I preach to them the gospel of aliens or transgenders, I mean, of AIs or whatever. They still die in their sin. But if I preach the eternal gospel that the Ancient of Days, Jesus, gave to his disciples, because Doug, think of this, you and I and everyone listening that's a believer is a convert of one of 12 men. Think of that. One of the apostles preached to somebody who preached to somebody who preached to somebody who preached to somebody all the way down through these 2,000 years, and you are a disciple. You were the original genesis of your conversion was one of 12 men. That's what's going to change the world. And again, I want to address this thing. So I've got, you know, just bought a new pistol. And I love shooting guns. I don't want to shoot people. I love shooting guns. Okay. But Doug, the militia people out there, we're going to change the United States. We're going to take our country back. Let me ask you a question, Doug. What changed the Roman Empire? Was it Barabbas with his sword? Or was it the 12 humble men who preached the message of Jesus? What brought down the Roman Empire? I don't have any voice. Can you hear me?
It was the living water.
Yeah, it was Jesus. It was the message of Jesus. It mm-hmm. wasn't swords. It wasn't shields. It wasn't those things. You know, if we really want to change America, we preach the gospel. And again, you know, I just got carried off on this tangent. So,
I want to read to you about the, for those of you who are aware or not aware, the Samaritan woman. You go to John 4. If you want to read along with me, you can go over to, I think it's verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She says, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. So Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. So she says, sir. The woman says, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. I want you guys to pay attention to this. Verse 21. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. So for all of you Jew-hating people who keep emailing me, Doug, why don't you ever talk about the evilness of the Jews? You can go and spread that vow yourself. I'm not even going down that road. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. There will come a time when we will not be able to go to church, we'll not be able to go out to your courtyard and preach or pray. And there will be many false teachers, there'll be many false doctrines, many people who will just recently have been indoctrinated into the faith will become their own teachers, seeking after people that tickle their ears with a little bit of fanciful thoughts and word poetry. And then they will proclaim that to be doctrine and go and spread it to others who are looking. And this is why the deception runs much deeper than aliens and then giants and the New World Order. All these things are true. Let's just say it. All these things are true. Every boogeyman that's ever been discussed is real. Does it save you to know that? Does it save you from hell to know that? Does it help you to explain the mysteries of the world and then get that foot in the door to preach Jesus? Yes, if your heart is right and that's your intent. But if you go, hey, I'm gonna take Alice by the hand. We're going to go down this rabbit hole and we're going to talk about reptilians, David Icke, right? Reptilians on the moon base of Mars, stuff you cannot prove. And then we're going to go to this conspiracy and that conspiracy and that conspiracy. You're in a big crowd of people that say, raise your hand. Are you a Christian? Everybody raises their hand. When's the last time you went out and you actually tried to make disciples of people? Are you making disciples for Christ or are you making disciples for science fiction, like novel stuff? And this is my... Yeah, this is my only beef with people who go down that road. All right. I'm not saying not knowing this stuff. I'm not saying knowing it is detrimental and not knowing it is not detrimental. But when what is on your heart is to preach science fiction novel stuff and a bunch of stuff from a bunch of guys that you listen to, you pay a lot of attention to, and you buy a lot of their stuff, and they give you more watered down soupy milk than they do meat, are you doing yourself any good?
Let me give you a classic example, Doug, of how you can take it so far, but not far enough. AI, you know, we're transmuting the human race. We're genetically altering. We're going to make humans 2.0. We're going to make humans so they live 500 years. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, all this stuff will go away. You know, AI, we're going to convert. We're going to make, you know, like I said, human 2.0. And stop there. That's interesting factoids. In fact, Antichrist will use that because he's going to give you false hope. But if you tie the gospel into it, now let me tell you why that's important. Because this is what happened in the antediluvian world. Satan, the human Messiah, had to come through Jesus Christ. It had to come through a man who was both God, fully God, and fully human. Jesus met that requirement. And Satan's goal was to corrupt the human race. This is why he sent the flood, genetically, the Nephilim and all that, so that there'd be no real humans left on the planet. There'd be hybrid humans that were outside the covenant of grace, the grace of faith that what Abraham was saved by, or the grace when the new covenant came of Jesus Christ. Today, we see the same thing happening. This is why he wants to do it, because salvation, the covenant of grace, is only open to fully human beings. Science, Satan, gets a hold of the human genome and starts corrupting it. Whatever it creates is outside the covenant of grace. That's his goal. See, that defines the strategy. It defines the war that we're in. It doesn't just talk about a bunch of neat stuff to make myself sound important. I'm actually given the gospel of Jesus Christ in that presentation, because this is why I love talking about the second coming so much of Jesus. It says, he that has this hope in him, the hope of the returning master, my master's going to return. Where I was at with my friend Larry, former Green Beret, I was doing Bible study with him today, and we were talking about this. You know, that we're just sitting at this picnic bench. It's an ideal setting where we have Bible study. And Larry, let's go over and pick some of those cherries that are, you know, 6 inches. I mean, the earth is restored. The curse of sin is lifted, you know, and this is what the Christian has to look forward to. This new Jerusalem, this recreation of the planet that, you know, oh, sin, where is thy sting? Oh, death, you know, it's gone. And so I love talking about the coming of Jesus, because he that has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. When I know my master is going to come and I know he has his reward with him, man, I want to look at my heart and say, what is there in my heart that could defile me, that could make me corrupt in a manner that would sin would have a foothold in my life? That's why I think, you know, that's why I think the church is absolutely poured cold water on the fire of the second coming, because of the effect it has, the purifying effect on the body of Christ. And the Bible also conversely says that if we forget that our master's coming back soon, then what happens? The booze and the women come out. I mean, to put it in the vernacular. You know, we forget and we start to party and you know, we forget that he's coming back with his reward and his judgment. And we do that. And if I look at the church in the world today, that's what I see. A church that has forgotten its master, forgotten its first love, forgotten that he's coming back. And they are fat. They're just like a bunch of, you know, fat, lazy, indulgent Christians. And this is why Satan puts the blinders on people's eyes concerning the times in which we live. I mean, Doug, we were talking before the program. You know, we are living in a time, I mean, last century, more people were killed last century in war than all of history. More disease. The epidemic, 1916 epidemic. You know, the great plague of the Middle Ages, I mean, it killed a lot. But we see plagues now coming over and over and over again. I just look at what happened in France, what happens all around the world now with ethnos hating ethnos. I hate you. Just because you're black, I hate you.
And there's another thing, and it's the
Doug, suicide. Because I don't want someone to misquote that, pull it out of context. That's what the world says. The Christian says, brother, I don't care what your skin color is. You know, I want to be your brother. I want to share the faith with you. And you know, that's what I want. But so as we see this stuff happening, Jesus said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. This is why Doug and I's passion is the coming of Jesus. We're encouraging you. We're edifying you. We're exhorting you to get your life right, because your master is going to show up one time when you don't expect him. Keep in mind, all 10 virgins were asleep. You know the parable of the virgins? All 10 were asleep. Now, 5 were asleep that had prepared, but all were resting. But the ones that when they heard the bride come, they were ready. They had their oil. They had their extra oil, and they were ready. We want to exhort you to be in that ready crowd and not in the crowd going, what? Wait, give me a minute. Come on, time out. You know, I got three timeouts left. Give me one right now. No, it's going to be too late for you. You're going to be shut out of the wedding feast. And so this is what we're saying. But as Doug and I were talking before the program, the horror that men are perpetrating on one another right now, we're fixing to go into World War III. Well, untold billions might die. Bill Bengala, you know, Unit 731 Gates, wants to release more plagues on the earth. God knows he's doing some of the mosquitoes right now. Oh, gosh. You want them releasing those mosquitoes that they played with?
And it's all in Texas, too.
Yeah, I don't want them playing with it. We relocate the basically the Animal Center for Disease Control right in the middle of cow country. And we see all this happening. And without faith in Jesus Christ and understanding of the times in which we live and understanding that why I want to know about Machu Picchu and aliens and demons and all that is because it happened before. And it's going to happen again.
That's right.
And I want to be ready for it. I don't want to be fall under that deception. I don't want to know that so I can know it. Oh, do you know you can fit two, millimeters in between these? That's interesting stuff. But I want to know it because as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So I'll be ready for it because look at the whiz bang effects are going to get more and more awesome.
You know, I have a question about the when the master talks about the days of Noah returning, as advanced as we are now, we can't replicate the Great Pyramids to that scale. We can't replicate what happened at Sacsayhuama on the wall of Sacsayhuama, where it looks like the stones were literally heated and then molded. Me and L.A. Marzulli were walking around it and I was pointing out to L.A., like, you could see where it looks like there's these great, big, huge fingertips grip this one stone that was probably longer than I am tall and mushed it, like a Tetris game, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, I can't explain that, and I'm a pretty rational person. I don't believe in every fairy story that gets told to me. I'm like, that looks like fingertips, and that looks like someone liquefied the stone. Come to find out. Well, with certain harmonic frequencies, yep. You can do that now. So
you can anti-gravity things.
If we're just now really discovering some of this, and you get some other of these ufologist guys like Dr. Stephen Greer. Well, I think he's done a lot of good work. I disagree with his whole new age theory that he has on trying to approach aliens by what do they call it? Astral projection and all that. I think that's completely demonic. Do not do that. But, you know, the hidden information that he is bringing out, I think is very interesting and telling. But once again, are we ever going to fully know the truth? Probably not. Governments are always going to hide most of it. But when it comes out in the open and it can't be denied, once we get to that level, then I think that's when we hit the oh crap button. We're there. We're not there yet. There's a lot of people who think we're there yet. We're not there yet. We are not as sophisticated enough as these people were who built some of these megalithic buildings. And I think when we get to that level, that's when a lot of things are going to change. Look, the Chinese army is gene manipulating their own soldiers so that they could have like an eighth or a tenth of an extra second or two response in the battlefield for fighting capabilities and cognitive abilities. And that could greatly change a battlefield structure. Just that one thing. Increase the endurance a little bit. Increase the capacity for understanding information and spitting it out. You know, guys like us go through years and years of training to try and understand how to employ men tactically on battlefields. And still, you don't really know what you know until you go out and learn and you fail multiple times. That's why you're supposed to fail in training so you don't fail, when it's real. That's what everybody learned at our training course. But Russia is pumping all their guys full of methamphetamines and steroids. We got China's over here doing literal gene alterations of their people. And what are we doing? Here's the latest bra and brassiere and you know, women's underwear for the men to wear. You know, just go down to the surplus store and go pick it up. I don't understand what we're doing except just trying to lose the next war. I don't want to be in a next war, but we are definitely not making sure that we're going to be on top of it.
Yeah, well, it's all by design to bring down liberty, freedom. I mean, freedom is a gift of God. Liberty is a gift of God. And what I mean by liberty, I don't mean liberty to be able to run down the street naked in front of little kids. I mean liberty to do what God commands us to do, to be what God commands us to be. If God wants to make me a coppersmith, then you know, I have the liberty to become a coppersmith and pursue that with all my passion. If I want to become a minister of God, I can do that. So, you know, I'm a free moral agent in that aspect that I'm able to do it. The state, on the other hand, wants to cookie cutter everybody and put them into a cog and make them what they are. And we see when that happens, you know, depression, all birth rates fall. I mean, just all kinds of bad things, mass murder, whatever, you know, happen. And so, you know, this is the battle we're in. And that's why the West needs to be taken out, because for the last, you know, 500 years, the West has, you know, well, actually our West has preached the gospel and has carried the gospel from the Magna Carta on. It is recognized that those were the gifts of God. And so they want to destroy that, just make it a status thing. And that's why we're in the crosshairs we're in. But, and really we're in the crosshairs we're in because most people don't talk about it. They don't want to talk. Yeah. They don't want to say anything. And ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of the ages. Do you know men's souls are at stake? You know, I despise what so many people in the Democratic Party think, especially the higher up leadership. But their soul, I still pray for them that they could repent, if it's possible. I don't know if it's even possible anymore, and be forgiven. Because Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains all the world?" I become 10 Elon Musks. I don't have 260 billion. I have 2.6 trillion. What will it profit me on that day? I sometimes think of Hugh Hefner and watched him growing up, because I was a child of that age. Always had multiple beautiful women hanging on his arms. He had money, fame. Every guy wanted to be him, you know, sex, all. And today, he would give 20 of those lifetimes, 100 of those lifetimes, for a drop of water on his tongue. That's men's souls we're fighting for. That's the souls of men we're fighting for, the souls of men, mankind, we're fighting for. And if you're not in this battle, and you're in any other battle, Save America battle, good, noble thing. I want to save America. If you're in the Let's Make Everybody Aware of Aliens battle, I want people to be aware of the demonic spirits that are coming upon the earth. You can just go watch the videos concerning CERN or the tunnel. What's the name of the tunnel? Switzerland?
The one in Norway.
The long tunnel. You look at all these things and you see the demonic entities coming on the planet. You know, yeah, I want to be aware of that. I want to understand it. I want to put it in context of why it means something to me in this day and age, so I'm not deceived, that my eyes stay focused. All at the end of his life, I love those words. I want those words put on my tombstone one day. I fought the good fight. Do you ever think of that's a martial term? That's not some Casper wimp toast, limp wrist term. I fought the good fight.
What people don't understand is the apostles were whipped, beaten, chased out of every town.
Crucified upside down.
They're like, you know, some of the early prophets, sawed in half, boiled alive, but he's still alive. He was actually boiled alive, right?
Yeah.
And
John, we're talking about St. John.
Yeah, these things happen to them. They will happen to you too.
Yes.
Worse things. You know why it's worse? Because it'll be the church that comes after you.
It'll be the church that comes after you. I love what John MacArthur said. And, you know, this is going to, Doug, you're going to take the heat for this one because you're going to get the comments on your thing. We lose in this life. We do. Christians lose. We don't win this world. We don't convert and Christianize the world.
Nope.
The world grows exceedingly more and more worse. And in fact, it says in the end of the age, the Antichrist overcomes the saints of the Most High.
You know, that's a part of scripture that people either A, don't read, or B, don't comprehend. Look, your guns aren't going to save you. The church, I was listening to Pastor David Langford last night. It was like 2 a.m. I couldn't sleep. And so I was listening to some of his latest online sermons that he's done. And he said something that I thought was very profound, Bob. He said that, you know, the church has failed and the church was never going to succeed because Christ had to return. The church could not take or couldn't keep the Ten Commandments in the courthouse and in the schools. The church couldn't stop the reprobatism that's happening to our kids. The church couldn't shut down all the abortion centers. You know, the church couldn't stop the world wars. So what has the church done besides divide itself more and more and become its own worst enemy? It was all prophecy that's going to be fulfilled because that's why Laodicea. Jesus has to come back.
He wins. He's then at the end. Now, I don't want to finish that statement. We lose. We don't win in this world. But at the end, we will cry triumphantly, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" We will hail our Messiah coming back on a white horse. And as he goes out and conquers the Antichrist armies. And you know what I love, Doug? It says, it doesn't say Michael the Archangel got with Gabriel and, you know, Raphael and all the other archangels, and they went and grabbed Satan and threw him in the pit. It says an angel, regular old angel, went and grabbed Lucifer and threw him in the pit. He can't stand before the righteousness of God's people or God's created beings, angels. He can't stand before them. His art is deception. His craft is lies and deception. His craft is temptation. His craft isn't making you do something. The devil never made you do anything. Your flesh gave into it and you did it.
That's the law of sin, though.
Yes.
I had mentioned suicide earlier. Was it Japan is leading in the world in the suicide rate, which is crazy to think. It's like a ultra conservative country. Good luck finding a mosque in Japan.
Yeah. I love going to Japan. I mean, I've been there a lot of times, and I love there. It's beautiful.
But they have the suicide forest.
Yes.
Where thousands of people every year go into this forest, and for whatever reason, they commit suicide. See, here's the problem where Christianity did not bridge this gap. That is a principality on a high place. You have a mountain surrounded by people who go and kill themselves. Oh, doesn't this sound familiar to Scripture? So we have a principality problem then in Japan. But when... And look, the Buddhists and all these other people, as nice and calm and cool as it all seems to be, it's not working for you, is it?
No. You know, two points. MacArthur, for all of his faults, General MacArthur, after World War II, he became, you know, the commander, really the leader of Japan. And he begged Christian churches, come to Japan and preach the gospel. Because he knew those people were ripe for it. Everything that they had believed in had been shattered, and they were open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the churches didn't respond in the way they should, and the church lost an awesome possibility of really having the gospel explode in Japan. But, you know, and today, what do we see? I've read studies that the average Japanese male would rather have the consort of a sex bot than a real woman.
Well, and they look very feminine.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a judgment upon a people.
Yes, it is.
And I would like to see the explosion of the church in the home first. Dig your well first, right? Dig your well first before you go out and you try to convert all these other people, are your kids saved? Do you pray with them? Do you pray over them? Do you
read
and
the
your
Bible
wife?
To them.
Yeah, do you and your wife end each night with a prayer together? You know, and if you can't answer those questions, well, there's part of your problem. Solve that problem first. We don't have to beat each other over the head with doctrine.
When I was in the hospital the other night, I was just talking, and this young girl came up to me, and you know, I was telling, she goes, "You have a pretty wife." And I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "You know, we've been married 37 years. And she goes, "37 years? Wow." Like that was some kind of strange thing. But she goes, "What was the secret of your marriage?" And, you know, and I told her, I said, basically, it's our faith in Jesus Christ. Specifically, I said, you know, we never go to bed mad at each other. I can't say we never have, but on principle, we never go to bed mad. And I said, you know, I gave her some other biblical principles that we do. We pray together in the morning and the evening. We say our evening prayers and our morning prayers. And I could tell she was listening because she, you know, she was a young, pretty girl. And I'm sure she might have had a boyfriend or possibly, you know, wanted to have a boyfriend one day and get married and children, whatever. And she wanted those answers. What does it take to make it work? You know, and we could have talked about a lot of different things. I could have talked about myself. I'm in a lot of pain, you know, and I was. But it was an opportunity to share God's word with that young woman. And this is what we need to be doing as the body of Christ in these days. We hold the richest of riches in our hands, and we carry it with us. The gold of all gold, the diamonds of all diamonds. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a gift beyond measure. It is a treasure beyond scope. And you carry it with you everywhere you go. But I take it and I stick it under my shirt. Got a nice black shirt on, won't shine through. Put it under a bucket. I want it on a hill. You know, I want Daniel. You can't pray for the next 30 days, Daniel. So Daniel just doesn't go in his closet and kind of hides and, or you're going to be quiet here because they might hear me, you know. He gets up on the third story, opens the window up, pulls the blind up, right in the window, starts praying for everybody to see him on his knees. That's what we need to be today. So that when our Lord does come, and I think it's soon, we have to say, you know, I don't say this with any boasting, but I know I have friends. Bob, you led me to Jesus. I was the first one in my family to accept Jesus. And my brother, I witnessed to him. He became a Christian. And my family became a Christian, became Christian people. Carry that into eternity. That's what we want to do. We want to carry that into eternity. That power, that dunamis, as the Bible calls it, dynamite. We carry it with us wherever we go. I carried it to the hospital. I remember one time we ended up taking somebody to this drug rehab place, and the people that were in there were pathetic looking. You know, we were taking somebody that would go off to a place to get cleaned up. And this one girl started opening up about her life, how she had lost two babies because she was so stoned, they just died in her care. And she had, you know, the mess sores and all that. And God bless my wife. She just did there. The lady goes, "Will you pray for me?" And my wife says, "No, I won't pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now." And right there in that room, my wife got up and prayed for her. See, that's the gospel of Jesus. The other night when I was in the hospital, my wife and I were sitting in the waiting room. We'd been there 2 or 3 hours. And this one other couple was sitting there. We both had some heart issues going on. And I was debating whether I wanted to stay or you know, be monitored for the night. And, you know, me, I wanted to go home. But my wife wanted me to stay, and I eventually gave in, which if I hadn't, it wouldn't have gone well if I hadn't stayed. But this guy comes up. He walks right up to me, the other guy in the waiting room. He goes, "Brother, I want to pray for you." Out of the blue. I didn't know this guy from Adam. And he prayed this Holy Ghost prayer over me. That is the gospel of Jesus. That is a man who sold out to Jesus. That is a man who hears his master's voice. And he goes, "See that guy over there? He's a hurting soul. Go pray for him." That's what he wants you to be. That man sold out to Jesus. He sold out. And because of that, I mean, what happened, I had two really bad attacks, and not heart attacks. Thank God there was no damage done to my heart, but it literally felt like an elephant was standing on my chest. And the lady said, "This is why I didn't want you to go home. Your troponin levels," I guess that's some enzyme in the heart, "had doubled and tripled, which means you had some real serious issues going on. And we wanted you to stay here." Well, she goes, "If you had gone home, it would have been different. This would have been a totally different story. And I wouldn't be doing this program with you right now, Doug." Because a man who sat there, stood up, and said, "Brother, I want to pray for you, and I want to encourage you to stay. God wants you to stay tonight." What happens if he hadn't done that? What happens if he hadn't done it? Oh, I don't want to think I'm weird. What happens if he hadn't done it? Doug, we wouldn't be doing this program right now. Wouldn't. And so, forgive me for the emotionalism. But this is what God's calling us to. And I want to say thank you to that guy. You know, my wife remembers his name. I didn't remember his name. But I want to say thank you to him that he heard God's voice, and he was an obedient servant, and he obeyed the voice of the master and saved my life. So, anyhow, you know, this is what we're called to, because we live in this dying world of people who have gone insane. They've completely reprobate. They've given themselves over to such gross wickedness, evil, we can't even imagine. If they're doing this in public, what are they doing in private?
Well, and those same people who do these things in private want it to be exposed into the public so that you get more France.
So, what we see going in France right now, the ethnos against ethnos.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see here in the United States. It's going to come. It's coming right now. I just watched what happened in Minnesota with the Somalians were up there throwing, you know, Doug and I were talking before the program. In Tennessee, we can get these big old aerial bombs that are about that long, about that big around. And I mean, if you held one when it went off, it'd probably kill you. Definitely blow your appendages off. And they're throwing them at the police. George Floyd, we saw what happened there. That's going to go kinetic one day in the United States. And, you know, your money, everything that you have on this earth will be shaken. If you lose all your money, lose your home, whatever you lose. We saw that happen during COVID. Many, many people lost everything they had. And a lot of them ended up putting a bullet in their head or jumping out of a building. Still, suicide is very high as the aftermath of what they did to us. But if your feet are planted on that rock, if you're willing to be that ambassador for Jesus, if you're willing to say, "I come to serve," you know, and you're willing to be that man, the Bible says that in the eternal state, you will be like the stars of heaven that shine forever. That will be you. You'll be like a star in heaven that shines forever if you lead people to righteousness. And so this is what we're encouraging people to do. Doug, go ahead.
I wanted to move on to some of the other targeted topics that we were going to go through real quick. Let's talk about Zaporizhia in Ukraine. The current scuttlebutt is in the Zaporizhia nuclear plant. That's on the eastern Dnieper area. That's the area that Russia went and invaded in Ukraine. That's the largest nuclear power plant in Ukraine, actually in that whole area of Europe. And the rumor mill is now that the Russians may target it and blow it up. And now, here's why I think this is BS. How does that help Russia? Like, do you want to be nuked?
It helps them about as much as blowing up their own pipeline.
Right. So, you know, and that's a good point, though. All of this is being led by little three-letter agencies who used to do really good work, and then they got really compromised, and now they are working for the devil, whether they know it or not, and stirring up these wars and rumors of wars helps nobody, and it doesn't help the elite either. They're going to have to deal with all of us maniacs as well.
They've built their bunkers. They think they have their cities of refuge planned for themselves, but the Lord mocks at them from heaven.
That's right.
He mocks them. You know, in fact, when the Lord does return at his second advent, Revelation 19:11, they cry out for the rocks to hide them from his face. But, you know, the Russians do everything. You know, I think the Russians, you know, they kidnapped a Lindbergh baby. I think the Russians, you know, burnt Rome down. I think they definitely introduced the Great Plague to Europe in the Middle Ages.
I heard the Russians actually took the round earth and made it flat.
They did that. They used that big old hydrogen bomb, the Tsar bomb, and it did it.
Yeah.
Blew it flat. Let all the air out of it.
You guys in the comment section are going to just have a field day. Go ahead. Have a field day. It's fine. But no, Russia is the boogeyman that we proclaim not to be.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely. I'll tell you this much. You should be more afraid of America than any nation combined around the world, to include China. You should be more afraid of America, because if you don't embrace our level of freedom, well, we'll come and bomb the hell out of you until you do.
Yeah. You know, again, I mentioned to you, we've had 7 years of freedom since 1776 till today. We've had 7 years where America has not been at war. It's big business. It makes a lot of money. And it's a shame that we can't do commerce. It's like where goods don't cross borders, armies do. I forgot who said that, Tocqueville or somebody. You know, and that's what we've been specialty at, not crossing goods, crossing borders. We ban this and do this and, you know, prevent that from being shipped and all this. And what it does is it just makes hostilities grow, and then we sell lots more bullets and planes and bazookas and all that stuff.
We're enablers.
Yeah. So, again, this is why the Lord called me to make peace among people. You know, if I see a BLM guy that hates me because I'm white, I'm going to try to make peace with him. I don't know if I can. Now, I will say this. I will defend myself. But I would rather make peace with him than sit there and go, well, he's a black guy who hates my guts. I have the right to hate him back, and I'm going to shoot him. I mean, you know, what does that solve? Solve nothing. And that's what I want to be in the days of the final days of my life, whatever I have left. I want to be that representative of Jesus, because again, we're going to see something like that happen, that nuclear power plant blow up. We're going to see catastrophe, judgment, famine, pestilence, war, deprivation happen. We're going to see financial collapse happen so they can bring about the great reset. It's written in the volume of the book. All you have to do is read it. It's not like, well, we might get the great reset. We might have a central bank digital currency. No, we're going to get it. The Bible wrote it. It's going to happen. You can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. I mean, if it says it, I believe it. It's inevitable. That's why John MacArthur said what he said. We don't win in this world. We lose until the Messiah comes back, and then his armies, when we're empowered from him as an army, then yeah, we kind of clean up, take care of business. But, you know, this is where we're at, Doug. We're going to see more and more of this. And this is why we tell people, that's why the first hour of this thing was get your heart right with the Lord. Surround yourself with good men and women. Surround yourself with those who build you up. You know, it was so encouraging to have that man at the hospital the other night, just building me up. I have a friend, Mark, Florida Department of Law Enforcement. He calls me all the time. Bob, how you doing? How's it going? Because he knows what I'm dealing with. I want to pray for you. I mean, this guy never misses a chance to pray for me. Before we go, Bob, I want to pray for you. You know, and I watched this man. You want to see genuine, true faith? I watched this man. Son just graduated UCF, University of Central Florida, driving home. Hits the back of a tractor trailer. Kills him immediately. Called me up, you know, just broken. But I never saw him doubt his faith. I never saw him question God. And, you know, subsequently, when he became a Christian, he went on to become an author, a speaker, and he's led other people to Jesus. So, you know, we're going to see this stuff happen and more, and we need to be ready for it. That's what Jesus told us. He warned us ahead of time that these things are going to happen so that we could be equipped. And we equip ourselves multiple ways, but we equip ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. We equip ourselves. The Bible says we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death.
Amen.
We equip ourselves with good men and women around us, like my friend Mark, who calls me up to check on me and pray for me several times a week. And then, Doug, we equip ourselves by what you do. I do want to transition into that because I know we only have a few minutes left. But this class that you gave last time, the active shooter class, I would say was an order of magnitude two or three times better than the first one you gave. We had more incorporated into it. Steve, you guys did a bang-up job doing the CERN class. I mean, the SEER class, excuse me, CERN. We weren't making any super colliders there.
Not yet.
Not yet. It was time. Tell people from time to time, I'm working on my intermix formula between matter and antimatter to create a faster than light speed engine. You know, and I put that on Facebook and people go, what? You know, just those are left curve at them.
Well, the SEER course was fun because we did tactical questioning, putting people into a mindset. And I'll paint the picture for everybody real quick. The whole theme of this training was grid down scenario. How do you train at night? That's why we did a lot of training at night. That's why we did a lot of basic room
just
clearing.
Talk about that. What did people think when they first looked through thermal or night vision?
Well, I mean, immediately it's a game changer to be able to see. You know, it's a game changer to be able to see. But from there, you can't. And look, people are guilty of this. If you spend the money to buy this gear and you keep it in its housing and then you never take it out, you don't know how to use it. I had to warn people, if you've never walked around with this stuff, you are going to fall because you have no depth perception. You can't walk with night vision very well at first, but it takes time and practice, and you're not going to do very well holding it over your eye like this the whole time. That's why we recommend get the head mounting units, like from a basic bump helmet. Doesn't have to be a ballistic helmet. But on the flip side, when you have a thermal unit, you're going to see things you can't with night vision. Night vision will see things that thermal can't. So they both complement each other.
It's a good marriage.
But you can run and shoot and move with night vision, and you're not going to do that with thermal so well. Not that you can't, but you're not going to do it so well.
And you don't have facial recognition. That's what I like about night vision. I can look at Doug Thornton and say, that's Doug Thornton. If I look at you through thermal, I'm not going to recognize Doug Thornton. I'm not the predator, so I don't understand those thermal images that he does, you know. but yeah, I was listening to some of the guys and they were like, oh my gosh, I've never realized what you could do with night vision, what it does for you. but again, the point is made really well. You need to train with it. I mean, the first thing you have to learn when you're using night vision, because you lose an aspect of three dimensions, you have to keep your head moving. I mean, you just can't get fixated right in front of you. You have to up, down, side to side, keep your head moving, because you go from 180 degree field of view to a 40 degree field of view. And that's with binoculars or monocular. You get that 40 degree field of view. So you have to keep your head moving. You'll learn that real quick using this stuff. And this is why I say this class was on an order 2 to 3 times better than the last ones, because people did get to go out and firsthand, you know, first time, look through thermal and look through night vision and see what it does for them. People did get to feel like, and I've had this done to me, put in a room, and it was an exercise. I just want to make that clear. I wasn't somehow being, you know, bad guide. Be put in a room and no windows, door doesn't have any windows in it. You sit down and two guys come in and start questioning you, and they're experts at it. And it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't, I told you, it doesn't matter if you say, I like chocolate cupcakes. They're going to exploit that somehow or another, and they're going to start talking about chocolate cupcakes. What do you like them? Do you have a favorite place you buy them at? Starbucks. Okay. When you say Starbucks, that tells you something about you. It's an intel. I mean, you know, and they're very good at what they do. And, you know, you start to feel really uncomfortable. Like, I'm just answering simple questions and I don't feel good about this.
We had some of the students feel like that when me and Steve were questioning them.
Yeah. So that's, I've never seen anybody give that aspect in a course before. So.
Well, and once again, we want to prepare people for what the eventuality is. And the eventuality is, at any moment of time, the lights can go out and not come back on. You have to know how to, this is why I think room clearing, the Barney style that I do it, teaching you how to walk through a door first. How many people cannot walk through a door adequately without bumping into stuff? And then you're going to throw on all your hero tactical stuff. You're going to bumble through the door and you're going to get killed in the fatal funnel. But if you don't know how to search a room, do you live in a tent? Because you have free space in your home anytime. The reason why, like in law enforcement, in the military, while we are so good at it, is because we practice it 8 to 12 hours a day.
Muscle memory. Every
single day. Yeah, that's all we do, is rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. You don't, you know, and I told everyone who came to the course, you don't have to come back and see me, because I've given you the general knowledge of how your feet should be pivoting and moving through a doorway, how to do a button hook and a cross. That's the most basic, simple thing that every single one of us had to do, and use your home as your baseline training and practice it 10, 20 times a day. How many times you walk through freaking doors all the time? That's your free rep. Get a free repetition in. You do this every single day and every week and every month. By the end of the year, you will have done more room clearing than your average police officer have done in 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
And the training's free at that point.
And also we had the medical element to it, the medical module, where I love Steve's teaching style. You know, I really do love it. He's a devout believer. You can tell he's very, very self-assured, but he doesn't impose himself. He just teaches, and people ask questions and he gives the good answers. And so, I don't think there's a course I know of where you walk away from, where you get an active shooter, you get advanced medical training, and you get SEER training all in one. I know we're going to be doing this again because it was extremely popular. 6th, 7th, and 8th of October, we're going to do this. It's on my website. Go to Ready Made Resources, and you go up at the top where it says the training courses. Click that. First one you'll get to is that class. You can sign up for it. I think as Doug, more and more people come to these classes, they're going to fill up real quick, because I just listened to the comments of the students and they love it.
And we can only hold 25 students.
Yeah.
And that's the max. So if it gets filled up, that's great. You know, if it doesn't, hey man, call in any day. We had people who were there the day before the training, and it was a couple. And they said, hey, we want to be there for the training. This is awesome. We're in the area. We got nothing else better to do. And they came and gave 3 days worth of 100% motivation, effort, And you know what was the best part about the entire training thing? For the active shooter training course, this was the best part, is that we trained and we fellowshipped and we fellowshipped while we trained. And we were on downtime. We were talking about training and fellowshipping. And unlike a lot of these other events that you get to go to, like I said, I'm not going to put down anybody's conferences, but we were so intimate with each other on a personal level that it built relationships and friendships. And that's what I hope that you can walk away with, not just confidence in your skills, but that Philadelphia, that true Philadelphia, brotherly love.
You're creating an esprit de corps.
Absolutely.
And that's what I like. In fact, even Steve came up and he goes, you know, I feel like I'm at a Christian's men retreat in some way that's on steroids. You know, and it was all good. And you got to learn tactical skills, practical skills, and you got to have the fellowship of other people that we're all just come together in the common grace of life and say, we see the world is what it's at. I have two young children. I want to protect them. You know, I want to be able to do, I just don't want to be cannon fodder if something happens. I want to be able to defend life. And that's what they're there for, because that's what we make it real clear up front. We're not coming here to be John Rambo. We're coming here to be servants. We serve our communities.
And I want to make another thing known, that the average person who showed up was 60 years old.
Yeah.
The average person. Out of that entire course, we had three people from the ages of, I think, like late 20s to 40.
Yes.
So everyone else then is in their late 60s. Where are you men at?
It's a good question, Doug. You think you know it? I was talking to someone the other day. It's on a church security team. And I said, you have no clue what it's going to be like if there's ever an active shooter here. You have no clue. It's not I pull my gun out and shoot. You've got all of a sudden when that active shooter starts, let's just say it has started, you've got multiple balls in the air. The children's ministry. I've got, how many shooters are there? Are there any IEDs they're using? Any kind of explosives they're using? What kind of weapons?
Yeah. Knowing your target and what lies beyond. What's the penetration value of your rounds? If you just willy-nilly spray and pray into a crowd of people or at the bad guy, and it goes right through him, through the sheetrock, and right into the sanctuary. I mean, these are things that you're not going to just follow some dude on YouTube and learn this. And you don't have to come to my course. Go to any guy's course. I don't care. Just get training and understand the basics.
You know, 25 years ago, I met that guy I told you about, Mark, my best friend. And he told me back then, now this is 25 years ago, he hadn't done it. He goes, God help us when they discover long guns. You know, that back then. And they have discovered long guns now. And now they're discovering improvised explosive devices, as those Somalians were doing the other night at the police, throwing those aerial bombs at them. Smoke, aerial bombs, you know, all these are just easy to get.
I'll tell you the thing that worries me. You talk about long guns. Take one of these new, and it's hot and popular, the 12 gauge with a 10 round magazine. Yeah. And that is a game changer coming into a room.
Yeah, an AA-12.
Yeah.
Again, you know, they whatever it was that shot up that party the other night, transgendered, BLM, freakazoid, whatever it was.
Hold on, we have a new approved word.
Reptilians.
Nope. Xenomorph.
Xenomorph. Okay. The xenomorph. He had two ghost guns. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Two ghost guns.
Yeah.
So, Joe Biden, please address that. How would you have stopped that by taking somebody's pistol brace away from them? This guy had two ghost guns. Please address it, Mr. President.
Hey, by the way, little win for the Second Amendment community and for all Americans. The ATF has to go pound sand now on the pistol brace.
Explain.
Well, they had made a law unto themselves and said that Anything with a pistol brace was considered to be a short-barreled rifle and against the law. But they made the law, not Congress making the law. So the Supreme Court came back and said, no, you can't make law. Congress makes law. Then this is not a law. So you are out of line. And actually, you're violating the Constitution.
Yeah,
so
that's going to happen.
What I hope happens is every single anyone who owned a pistol brace or any manufacturer who lost money because of that, you should all get together in a class action lawsuit and sue the ATF and the Department of Justice all the way back to the hell that they crept out of. That's what you should do.
But again, just encouraging, especially young men, you know, to come to this training course. You're going to love it. You'll have camaraderie. You'll learn things. I know, you know, every man is the best shooter in the world. You know, that's what every guy thinks of himself. You know, I could shoot the eyes off an ad at 500 yards with a, you know, a Saturday night special 32 or 25. You know, no, you can't. Come to the course and you'll learn. Put your ego aside just for a minute and you'll really will learn. Like I said, it's actually 24 people, Doug. I have room for 24 people in the classroom. And so this is in October again, 6th, 7th, and 8th. We tried to place it far enough away from Thanksgiving. It's not going to interrupt family plans. Hopefully it doesn't interfere anybody's devil's night parties, Halloween. But so you can sign up for it now and come and you'll do that. We do have room for about, what do we have there? 5-6 people camp out.
Yeah. And there's cabins. There's cabins everywhere, and Teleco Plains is a gorgeous place to get you a cabin. They're as cheap as sometimes $60-$70 a night,
In October, it's going to be cheap because the season, the tourist season, will have been over. And you know, you get right on the Teleco River, which is it's beautiful. And just explore Teleco Plains. Don't go down to Teleco Bakery. You'll move here. That place makes some good food. So this is what you have. You know, we spent the time exhorting you to get your heart right with the Lord. Surround yourself with good men and women of faith, strong men and women of faith. And then, you know, equipment and training, because this world's getting more and more violent by the day. Did you see this thing that kid attacked his mom and grandma with a bat? His mom and grandma hit him, started beating to death with a bat. Young child.
Prophecy being fulfilled.
Yes. So it's time to wake up and not to become sitting on the sidelines anymore. Doug, I think we're pretty much out of time. I just want to mention, you know, we do have that night vision. People did. We had some you used a really top notch night vision and people were like, oh, my gosh, that stuff's good. We have that in stock. They can call up and buy it. We have financing available if people need to buy stuff that's expensive but can't put up the money all at one time. They can reach me at readymaderesources.com or 800-627-3809. And also, just a shout out to Jamie. He's having what is he having soon up at Calico Buffalo?
We're going to be doing the Warrior Summit, and this is going to be the fourth or fifth year that he's putting it on. I'm going to be a special guest speaker there. And the Warrior Summit is more or less a place for people to gather, for the body of Christ to gather, to mingle with each other, to do some iron sharpening some iron. I think there's going to be several different speakers there, but that's not the focus. The focus is for you to be able to gather and worship together, meet people, and then it's just a base camp. Go out and explore the area. We're going to be going to the UFO Highway. I have a night vision camera, so I'm going to go out there and see the UFO Highway. I've always wanted to go and see that.
Hey, Doug, let me know. I'll lend you a thermal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then we're going to go to Mesa Verde, where you had the Pueblo people who were climbed up the hills to escape supposedly the giants. So there's plenty of stuff out there to do. Horseback riding. They got cliff climbing. You can do, cliff jumping into the lake. It's a place for you to have a safe area to bring your kids and family in a safe Christian-led environment. And you don't have that anymore. Woodstock.
What are the dates? I know it's in July, late July.
Yes. Let me see. It's going to be the 27th through the 30th, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's right there at the end of July. Make sure you go to Jamie Walden .com. Yeah. I think it's the Calico Buffalo Base Camp .com. And you can see it all on there. Jamie Walden is also on YouTube, so make sure you're subscribed to him and you can follow him on YouTube. He'll be updating that. But yeah, man, come out there and come hang out with us. That's the thing that's been missing in the body of Christ. No one hangs out with each other anymore. They, you know,
that's what we were doing this last couple weekends ago.
Absolutely.
That's all. Hanging out.
Hanging out and shooting. And this next course, I want to say this before we leave. This next course will be much more focused on kinetics than learning the basic mechanics of room clearing. This next course, we're just going to be going full at kinetic force on force pretty much the entire time. So that means come prepared to work. Come prepared to work. We're going to be getting a lot of, quote, gunfights. It's going
to
be fun.
It might give somebody some motivation to lose a few pounds and jog a couple laps on a treadmill or something.
Are you making fun of me again? All right, Bob, thanks very much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching the American Vindictus Show. Make sure you go and see Robert Griswold over at Ready Made Resources. If you need night vision thermal, he also has ballistic helmets, non-ballistic helmets, and a whole litany of things for your survival preparedness needs. Bob, once again, what was that number?
800-627-3809. If you call, I'll talk with you. And readymaderesources.com. So give me a call.
All right, Bob. Thanks for coming out and hanging out with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, stay frosty. Keep your 360 degrees of situational awareness. It's getting weird out there. We'll see you next time. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.